The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful, even when we're not. And I'm excited once again to open the Bible to the book of Galatians. If you have a pew Bible in front of you, we're on page 1777, Galatians chapter 3 today. Page 1777 with the nice large print that we can read easily. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that it's been tried and tested and it's true. We trust, Lord, that as we apply our hearts to your word, that we'll learn and become better demonstrators of Holy Spirit's power, resurrection power. Help us to never revert back to trying to do things in our own strength. Thank you that you strengthen us, Lord. Amen. Well, I told you Paul kind of had some anger fits sometimes, and here he is again. I'll start right out, hopefully catching the flavor of what he's trying to say here. As he writes to the Galatians, the various churches in Galatia, churches where he had gone as a young missionary minister, and he had helped plant these churches. They had not known God. They heard the word of God, and they had been stirred by the Spirit and become followers of Jesus Christ. And he was excited about all these new bodies, these new churches throughout the Galatian area. And then he started hearing messages that somebody had followed along behind him, and they were trying to enslave these churches in Galatia, these individuals, into becoming followers of the law. He was hearing reports that they were actually listening to these teachers, these false teachers that were giving a wrong gospel that was no gospel at all, and they were becoming enslaved, and he's quite concerned about that. And he spent a couple chapters explaining what the gospel is, what his testimony is, how he knows the gospel, how the gospel has been confirmed by the other apostles, this gospel that he heard directly from Jesus, the Master. And he's gone to these the great lengths to explain to them that if you try to do things in your own strength, you're saying that God's work on the cross, what we just celebrated as the Lord's Supper, God's holy work on the cross is useless if there's another way to salvation. If you can be saved through your works, if you can become righteous through your keeping of the law, through your following of rules, then Jesus wasted his time. But he doesn't believe that's so, and neither do I. And so he comes to this next section of the book of Galatians, this little epistle, this letter that he wrote to them. And he starts out, "You foolish Galatians." In the J.B. Phillips translation, it's, "You idiotic people of Galatia." In the Message, what I just read from Eugene Peterson, it's, "You crazy Galatians." This is not a complimentary thing that Paul is saying to them. This may not be foolishness in the way that they're unintelligent. I don't think he's questioning their intelligence, but he is questioning their wisdom. He's questioning, why would you do something that you know is wrong? That's foolish. Like getting on a ladder that's not on even ground. How many of us have done foolish things in our lives? So, "You foolish Galatians," he says. And then he's saying, "Who has bewitched you?" He's name calling here. He's saying they're spiritually dull, they lack wisdom, and he's saying, maybe somebody's given you the evil eye. Maybe somebody's cast a spell on you and caused you to act outside of what is right. Because I can't imagine you're doing this in your own. Somebody else must have somehow taken control of you, taken power over you. That's what that bewitched part is. He's saying, you know, someone's given you the evil eye. And then he brings out the other part of the eyes. "Before your very eyes," you've seen this, "Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." He's looking at him. Your behavior doesn't match your beliefs. You know Jesus. I talked to you about him. You didn't know him. I gave you the gospel, the word, and then you believed. You saw him with your own eyes. Now, maybe he drew a sketch and did PowerPoints for them. I don't think so. He probably was very wordy. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words. In Paul's case, 1,000 words would be worth a picture. And he'd give thousands and thousands of words, and he'd give these word pictures. How many of you are sports fans? A little bit, sometimes. You ever listen to a game that you can't watch, and you can still see it in your head? Kevin Calabro was an excellent word picture guy. You'd be listening to the Sonics game, and I could actually see them running up and down the court and sweating and jumping and in pain when they fell and all kinds of things that he could describe with word pictures. Paul had come to the Galatian church and he'd given them enough word pictures so that they knew the crucified Jesus Christ. They knew the resurrected Jesus Christ. They'd been given before their very eyes a clear portrait. There was no mistaking what they'd seen, what they'd known. And if their eyes had seen the goodness, why would you take your eyes off of that and let somebody give you the evil eye and cause you to start thinking in a wrong direction? Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Could you just tell me one thing? Did you receive the Spirit? Now, that's just another way of saying, did you become a Christian? Did you become a follower of Jesus Christ? Because every follower of Jesus Christ, according to Corinthians, Romans, 1 John, a number of places in Scripture, it's like when you become a believer, you get the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Was it works or was it faith? How did you get the Spirit? How did you become a believer? How did you become a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, this is a rhetorical question. When I taught third grade, sometimes the kids figured out it was a rhetorical question and they finally stopped answering. There's an obvious answer to this. There's only one answer. They can't say, well, we got it because of our righteousness and we did some really good works and then that's how we got the Spirit. That's not how it works ever. It's not like we got a list of rules. I followed all the rules. Holy Spirit came on me because I'm so good. Doesn't happen that way. Believing what you heard. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, and I'm going to start with verse 9. It's on page 1729, just a few pages back from where we were. Romans chapter 10. If I said chapter 9, sorry. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If anybody ever wants to know how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe it in your heart. You're just not an actor falsely saying it, but you're actually believing it in your heart. Then you're saved. It's that simple. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, usually when New Testament authors are saying, as Scripture says, they're bringing you back to the Old Testament. That's generally what happens. Occasionally they're talking about other scripture in the New Testament, but most of the time, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. You can see in the footnote, that's from Isaiah 28. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's from the book of Joel. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Again, we're back in Isaiah chapter 52. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. He was moving faster. You notice that? They were quicker together, yeah. Not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I'm back in Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Faith comes from hearing the message and then believing that message that you heard. There was a time for all of us, whether we were the ancient church in Galatia or whether we're the more modern church here in Skycomish, where we didn't know God. And then we heard the gospel, we heard the word, we heard the message, and we received Holy Spirit. So his question, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? It's real obvious. There's only one answer. By believing what you heard. Just as an aside, if you know people that haven't heard yet, why would you expect them to believe? How are they going to hear? There's a lot of different ways. Paul made it pretty simple. It's like they can't hear unless there's somebody telling them. So even though Holy Spirit could come down and he could zap somebody and say, okay, I'm going to grab you and you're going to have to listen to me and you're going to hear me, he's chosen to use humans. And he sends us and he allows us to participate in his plan. I don't understand why. I mean, I know enough humans to think that's probably not a good idea, Lord. Why didn't you come up with a better method of getting your message out there? Because sometimes we don't clearly portray crucified Christ, do we? Sometimes what we're portraying with our actions, with our words, with our lifestyle is not what we would hope is a clear picture of Jesus. Well, you think he's going to calm down after he asks him this one question. He says, I only want to know one thing, but then he starts asking more questions. He goes right back to, are you so foolish? He's assuming that they've answered the first question correctly. We received the Spirit by believing what we heard. We've received the Spirit by believing the gospel, the good news, the word that's straight from the Master, from God. We believed from hearing. And so now he's saying, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, again, he's assuming that they got that answer correct, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? You started with the Spirit. The Spirit's the one that enabled you to believe. Now you think you're going to do it in your own strength? Now I'm a believer now. I can go out and judge the whole world and I can tell everybody what they're doing wrong and they should be like me. Do you know any Christians like that? Have you ever been a Christian like that? You started in the Spirit. How are you going to finish? Again, a rhetorical question, right? You're going to finish in the Spirit. Spirit's going to be the same one that believing in the Spirit is what brought you into the family. Believing in the Spirit's what's going to keep you continuing on. And if we keep trying to go back into our own works of the law, works of righteousness, works of whatever, if we think that going to church and doing all the right things and wearing the right clothes and never swearing and we got a list of don'ts and we got a list of do's and if we keep all that up, we're good Christians, something's missing. What about our heart? Is our heart where it belongs? Are we believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead? Are we believing that there's a resurrected, alive Savior that we get to serve? Is he king of our lives? He's king of all kings. Is he king of us? Or are we like a lot of people in America right now wanting to not accept the ruler that's been placed over us? Now, in America, we can always, you know, justify that in our minds. Well, he's just human and he's made a lot of mistakes. Yes, every single president we've had from George Washington on has made a lot of mistakes. And you know, when we get another president in a few years, that president's going to make a lot of mistakes. And we're not going to find a perfect man that's going to be able to rule and reign properly. Amen. But we've got a perfect king that we can turn to. That King of all kings, that Lord of all lords. Are we portraying him as a clear picture to the world? Do they know when they see us as a body in Skykomish, do they know that there's a living Savior? Or do they think that this is just like the Lions Club and a whole bunch of you can kind of meet together and you can kind of, you know, check off, yep, I went to that meeting, yep, I did that good service, I did that good work. Lions do a lot of great things. We're part of it and we love it and enjoy it. But you know what? Without Holy Spirit empowering us, all of that is useless. It's empty. Are we portraying Jesus Christ for who he is? Are we doing good things so that we can try to gain merit from him? Or are we doing good things just because of how great he is and we just want to say, thank you, Lord. And our life and our actions are based on believing the word. Followers of the word, the message, the good news. After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And I don't think any one of us would be honest if we said, well, obviously, we're constantly, continually trying to do it by means of the Spirit. Because I think most of us revert back to means of the flesh more often than we'd like to admit. This next question, have you experienced or suffered so much in vain, if it really was in vain? Looking back just a few verses back here, chapter 2, verse 21 on that same page. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Have you experienced so much in vain? You know, if we're trying to do this through works of the law, it's in vain, it's a waste, it's for nothing. If it really was in vain, I think he's saying in that if statement there that I sure hope not. I hope it wasn't in vain. I hope you really received the word. I hope you understood Christ crucified. I hope you understand the living Savior. I hope that you know that you don't have to try to earn anything with your own works. Verse 5, so again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by your believing what you heard? That's a pretty simple message, isn't it? Does God give you His Spirit? Does He change your heart and work miracles in you? I know that my life is way different than it would have been without Holy Spirit. Is that because I earned it, I worked for it? I tried that. Paul tried it. He was the best law keeper of anybody, he said. And it was all garbage. Or did we get given the Spirit? Does He work miracles in our lives because we believed what we heard? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I come to you knowing that I'd like to say, well, I'm constantly believing, and yet that's not true. And I just ask that you'll continually turn my heart, change me, mold me, make me into your servant, your king follower. Help me not be distracted by the things of the world or by my own desires, but to continually just believe. You started a good work in me. I know you promise you're going to complete it. Help me to get out of the way while you do that completing. Help me to cooperate with you and not try to tell you what to do. Forgive me, Father, for all the advice I've given you. And thank you for not listening to me most of the time. We ask all these things in your holy, precious, wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Can I throw a curve and have you change the last song? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.